This is going to be my speech. Well,
yeah, that video
for a
lot we
Civil penalties in it. So it's just a matter of how you get at it. The problem was there.
The plant closure bill it really did send a chill out there. As we were beginning, we were talking about changing our image, and we were beginning to get that done, and all of a sudden this bill came in. Now, the people out there didn't know Mr. Kolodowski at that time. They just knew the bill was there. It just sent a chill out. So there are ways to get at the same idea, only you do it positively.
Reading the article about the no to the abolishment of LCDC, that's good for you? You like that?
Yes, I like that. But I must say very clearly that there's no doubt in my mind that our unions do want some change in the process. I tried to make some changes. It was difficult under the political atmosphere, but I appointed a land use task force. They came up with some excellent recommendations, highly credible, and I had all philosophies in that task force. And we're going to come back, and we're going to get some changes on the how.
No on three, close.
Yes.
Tax limitation. You feel good about that?
Yes, I do. Matter of fact, I want to say in that regard, I have to really admire our unions, genuinely, on both issues, but particularly three. They were voting against their own immediate self-interest, personal self-interest.
Yes, they were.
And I'll tell you, that we may have to be proud of our
There seems to be a contradiction to some degree, but the school levies went down, you know. They kept the tax at three, they said no on three, but they defeated these school levies. Does that make it more difficult for you, for us?
No, I read it very carefully. I did in 1979. As a matter of fact, I put a bill in to limit property taxes, very much like ballot measure 3 or the 2.6s before that. But I would limit the rate where the rate is. Now, when you go to a uniform 1.5%, that was a fatal flaw in this because the taxing districts lost money. They couldn't operate the schools. That was true. It wasn't scare tactics. The cities and counties really would have been in bad shape. If you freeze the rates where they are, that means like today, that's where you are, we'll freeze the rates and control the growth, then I think that's what we ought to do.
One quick question, we'll go to break. Were you surprised that the pump your own gas went down? It kind of surprised me by the margin.
I don't know about being surprised. I was not supportive of it. And I faced it as a senator.
Why weren't you?
Well, you have to look at, is it really going to help the consumer? And when I was a senator and the bill was in there and I was deciding how I was going to vote on the issue, I looked at the state of Washington. And the state of Washington, really, there was no difference and they could pump their own. So if the consumer isn't going to benefit, then I started looking at what the negatives were. There's a lot of people that were maybe handicapped or seniors or for whatever reason couldn't pump their own and they were going to have to pay more money. And we also are narrowing down the place where young people get started in business today, or can start working. We keep cutting out their opportunities, and this was a place where young people could do it. So the two negatives plus no really assistance to the consumer, well, I was against it. I was delighted with that.
Thank you, Governor.
When we come back, we'll be able to ask the governor one of the questions you want. Portland 231-425 in Vancouver 6.
Governor and Mrs. Cetia, they hit him up pretty good last night about, well, is this going to be it? Is this the last campaign? Is this the last term you're going to serve? Is it too personal to ask how you feel about that sort of thing, or would you rather Dick spoke to that sort of question?
Well, all I can say is it's been most of our life, you know, that he's been involved in politics. And I'm willing to go with him and have been on this because I too believe in good government and I believe in him.
Could you tell us your name?
Lavelle Portman from Portland. And my question is really more a comment, Governor Zakia, and that is all the money that is spent on campaign, especially nowadays with our 10% of unemployment. And do you have any comments on that?
I do. Actually, we did raise more money and set apparently record high on governor's rate, and yet we weren't able to buy as much with less money in 1978. In other words, we raised less money, but because of increased costs, television time, radio, newspapers, staffs went up from 13 to 20 cents, and so we weren't able to buy as much this campaign as we did in 1978. So, you know, I agree it's a lot of money. As a matter of fact, it's a tremendous amount of money.
Just here in Oregon, I mean, nationwide, I think the figures are just unfathomable.
Well, there's really no way to... I thought a lot about it. I agree we're spending a lot of money, but the minute you try to limit a campaign, and it's been tried, that very minute you are favoring the incumbent. And I don't think that's fair. An incumbent always has an advantage by being an incumbent. A challenger really needs to be able to dig in and get out there and try to get their own vote. And the minute you put a limit on, you then give the incumbent an advantage, and I don't think that's
fair. I think of all the big millionaire races, the millionaires have, money didn't win all the seats around the country. No. Good morning. Yes, you're on. Hello? Can't hear anybody.
Okay.
Good morning.
Yes, I was just wanting to know what the governor will be doing now that he's won the race, what he'll be doing pertaining to the unemployment.
Okay, unemployment.
Well, we've been working on that, as I mentioned in the introductory, since 1979. We have some programs in place, a marketing plan for Oregon. There's a lot of groups around the state of Oregon. We might talk to you right here, around the state of Oregon that are trying to get jobs. We have some definite prospects. Interest rates are coming down. I'm very optimistic, and not too distant future, that Oregon is really going to move forward, and I think more rapidly than our surrounding states, just because I know our government's in shape, we're attuned to economic development, we're going to be working with local economic development groups. It's hard for me to give you a specific pinpoint. I just know what's out there and what's going to happen.
Governor, I have a question. I want to know how or what Oregonians can do the way they campaigned in California for the bottle bill. They out and out called us liars. They used propaganda, I think, to defeat the bottle bill. What do you do? You don't do anything about that? You let Oregonians be lied about?
No, I actually sent a telegram indicating they were saying that Oregonians do not like the bottle bill, and they communicated with our office. I don't know how they used it, but we sent a telegram to them saying that wasn't true, and that if it were a referendum on it, Oregonians would not ever vote it out. That was the text of what we had to say. And so we did cover it. How they used it, I really don't know, but it's been almost 10 days, 2 weeks ago, when they were really saying Oregonians didn't like it.
Morning.
Governor?
Yes.
I'm calling from Portland, and I was wondering on your economic reserve rate. He may recommend a sales tax. Are you seriously considering that?
I'm not. They knew that I do not support a sales tax. However, I told them, you just tell me what you think is the right thing to do, and they made a lot of recommendations, a lot of good ones, I might add. The one that got the most note was the sales tax one, but there are a lot of other good ones that I don't plan to bring it up, certainly in this legislature.
When you all go back to the next governor's conference, you're going to be running into some more Democrats than you were last time, aren't you? Democrats did pretty well, didn't they?
Yes, they did. We did lose some Midwestern states, and some very good governors decided not to run again, and that left an open space. When I started, incidentally, Jim, when I was elected, there were six of us elected. That made us 18. Got to 23. Now we're down to 16. We're in the wrong direction.
Good morning.
Governor, I'd like to know what you're going to do about capital punishment. Thank you.
Okay. I proposed during the campaign what I call a crime pact of 7 points. One of them included sending to the legislature a measure that would reinstitute the capital punishment that was declared unconstitutional. We would correct it in terms of the unconstitutional problem and resubmit it to the legislature.
Good morning. Hello? Line two? Okay, line four.
I was wondering, the governor campaigned on the basis that he was trying to save money. In January, they are going to build up Hillcrest School for Girls and move out 100 and some odd boys out of McLaren and put them into group homes in the community at a higher rate of cost. I'm wondering what the governor plans to do about that.
You declare that as a statement of fact, and that's not true. Children's Services is looking at what we can do to serve the clients much better. There's been a lot of thought in terms of those with less serious crimes of putting them into the community so that they can rehabilitate much faster than they could at Hillcrest or McLaren. However, that is not fact. That is looking at how we might be able to do things better. I think it's always worthwhile for government to continue to reanalyze what we're doing and can we do it better. This is one of those things we're looking at. I don't know what's going to come out of it. I do know it's a recommendation, but it is not yet fact.
Good If memory serves, you come right out of the campaign and he goes right to the budget. Is that a fun time around the Atiyah house?
Well, at least he's home.
How about a vacation? You gonna work that? I asked him a couple weeks ago, and he says, I've been on one for a while, I wouldn't know where to go. Is there gonna be time?
Well, he really didn't even want to think about a vacation during the campaign. There are too many things to think about. Yes, we'd love a vacation. But the budget is all important, and he must have that ready for the legislature on December 1st. So, you know, he goes right into this budget on Thursday. That's tomorrow. And the time goes too fast, but that will be heavy.
Well, the last couple of weeks in November are crossed off. We didn't know where we're going to go, but at least they're crossed off. We're not going to plug it with something else.
We certainly appreciate you coming up. Thank you. After being up so late, coming in so early in the morning. Laura, congratulations.
Thank you.
Good morning. Congratulations. Now you come back now, everyone.
Yes, you invite me. I'll be here.
It's a non-campaign year coming up.
Absolutely love it. I think it's great.
We thank you very much.
Thank you.
Laura, good to see you. The governor and the thank you.
This is Channel 8 now.
Yes, looking forward to a whole half a day vacation.
Back to work on Thursday.
Correct. We have to start the budget. The governor by law has to deliver a budget to the legislature by December 1. We've been in this process for quite some time. I know I'm in the point of making my decisions. I'll be making the decisions, final decisions on the budget. So I have to get at it.
Now, President Reagan is supposed to be one of the most vacationing presidents we have.
Well,
why don't you ever get a vacation?
I don't know. I guess I'm not president. I work hard at it, very hard. I figured, first of all, I had 4 years, and now I have 8 years. The segment of time, and I was going to give it as much time as I could. That's just the way I feel. Although I have used up an awful lot of energy, I'm going to have to take it a little bit easier than I have, but not, it's not my character to really take it easy.
Well, I've never, Governor, he had been in public office for what, more than 20 years?
Yes.
Something like that. Do you ever kind of wish he'd get out of it? Did you ever think there at a time, maybe he won't win this time and we can...
I've never thought that he wouldn't win, but I know the effort that goes in it, and some days you do get very tired. I get tired too. Because I have feelings also. So I know how he feels when he's tired. If you have some questions for the governor or for his wife, you're welcome to call us this morning. Our number is 226-5050. I was watching our coverage last night down at the Hilton, the Victory Party, and someone said something to the effect that your mother had a premonition and that's why she named you Victor. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That was my very good friend, Jim Kent. We know each other since high school. As a matter of fact, Jim and his wife, and Dolores and I all lockered together in Washington High School. You know, I go into high schools now and I look at those lockers and I say, how did we do that, you know? Particularly on a rainy day with all the wet coats and books and stuff. But that was my good friend, Jim Campbell, yes.
And your mother did have a premonition.
Well, anyway, whatever it was okay.
The ballot measure number 2, I believe, was the one that was defeated, giving you more time to veto bills. Why on earth would that go down? I can't understand it.
I really have no idea.
I mean, who cares if it takes you a little more time to go over a bill?
I don't understand it. I really would like to find out why they did that, because it made good management sense. And what got me thinking about it was after my first session, 1979, I have 20 days by Constitution to deal with the bills after the legislature leaves. The legislature always passes most of the bills near the end of the session. And that's been with 581 bills. Now, you know, I want to do a good conscientious
job. Sure, you barely get a chance even
to read them. So I said, well, we've got to do something about that. I don't know why they turned it down. I really don't. I would like to know why they voted no on that, because it didn't cost anything. It actually helped the referendum initiative process, because now they have to wait till the governor deals with it before they start the process with this change, and after the president has said it, the Speaker of the House signed it, and before I dealt with it, it started. I mean, it was all good. I don't know why. I can't ask.
I can't figure that one out either. We've got a caller here. Good morning. You're on Northwest Today. Take another one. Good morning. You're on Northwest Today. I don't know if our phones are working. If not, we'll have to ignore this part. Good morning. You're on Northwest Today. I think I hear something.
Hello?
Yes. Hi. You have a question for the governor?
Hello?
Yes?
No, I can't hear you right now. I'd like to ask the governor,
what he feels will happen with the growth in Oregon's unemployment rate for the next 4 years that he's going to take office. Because I know, as a young person myself, that this has really alarmed me, seeing the growth.
He used the word growth of unemployment. Actually, there'll be a reduction in unemployment the next 4 years. I have no doubts about it. I have no doubts at all that the economy will improve. Actually, I think Oregon is going to move probably more rapidly than some of our surrounding states. Interest rates are coming down. The first sign we're going to see definitely is there'll be more building around the United States, and then people will start buying our Oregon timber, and that's going to pick up, and that's going to happen, I think, pretty early. And very much like when they stop building, it hit us early. When they start building, it's going to affect us positively early. Then we are definitely have some very definite prospects for the electronic industry. So I actually look for a very, very bright 4 year period out in front of us. Even so, I'll bet you that we will probably, by the time my term of office is over, forgotten the last 2 years we've been through. Seems strange, but we forget awful easy.
I remember when George Bush was through here on your behalf, he announced that the recession was over.
Yes.
Are you willing to put a date or a time frame on when things are going to turn around here in Oregon?
Well, there's two words, and they're different. Recession was over, a turnaround. Actually, we've had a turnaround in Oregon. But turnaround means little pieces of good news. It doesn't mean recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been going on in Oregon. I travel the state an awful lot, and there have been little pieces of good news. Actually, if we look at our unemployment, it had been going down until last month. It went up 0.3%. But it had been going down. Now, incidentally, by contrast, California, Idaho, and Washington, they were going up. And, of course, the national unemployment was going up. So we've had some time. Now, as to recovery. Usually, our Economic Advisory Council predicted 08-1983 next year, or 1984 to a 1979.
She's away from her desk right now. Let's go back about 15 minutes.
I think it's going to be a little better than that. I really do.
Let's take another call here. Good morning, you're on Northwest Today.
Hi. I was wondering how Victor feels about the Guardian Angels, and if there'll be any funds from the government to back them up in Portland.
I don't know about funds. I do think they're a neat group of people. I particularly like the fact that they're not a vigilante type. I think that's why they've been successful. They're out there. What we really need to let criminals know that there are more people watching, that they can't get away with everything. Kind of put them on their guard. That is the criminal and prevention from crimes from occurring. I've been watching the progress out of here. I'm very impressed with their non-vigilante attitude. I'm grateful that they're around, but I'm not sure there are any funds available. We've got a tough time putting a budget together for the next 2 years.
Oh.
But I'm really glad they're around.
Well, I want to ask you something on a personal
Hello?
Way here. I understand
yes.
you have a lot of entertaining
you
don't get a lot of financial discretion in the state. Is this coming out of your pockets all the time that you have to get keys or be transported to places to appear and, you know, dinners at your house? Well, Oregon is very different from the other states, but the state does provide you with some help for entertaining. Of course, our life is a very simple home life. You move your own furniture down to entertain for the state and set up a governor's residence, and you do all of that. And this is all paid for by Vic and Dolores Diaz.
Well, actually, there's an expense of $500 a month. It was incidentally higher than that, and if they cut it back, the legislature. This gives me a chance to say some things. People think that we have a mansion, for example.
Right, but not even a governor's mansion in Oregon, which is, most states have these big areas.
Yeah, they all do, and they all have help. I mean, Dolores had help. We don't have physical help. We have the $500 a month type help. Dolores is the...
So you're in there cooking, making the canopies, and whatever. You're doing everything from planting the flowers to washing the windows. To cooking. When he says we have $500 a month help, but $250 is really what we have because you did take half of that away. So you
do
have to make $250
a month on entertaining, and I'm certainly not the governor's wife.
And the governor always has someone to be with him and take good care of him.
they did provide guards at the house, which I really appreciate. We live in almost downtown Salem, and we have quite a few people who wander through. In fact, one wandered on my back porch in the middle of the night. We did get a damn ballot.
Somebody put a cool gasket door hanger on
that. How'd they get by your guard? He was in the back yesterday morning when they did that. But I'm delighted to have them. I'm very secure feeling.